Begin the current daf. Start the site of daf lamadal. Begin on the top line of the yamut, where we continue the brisa from the previous daf. That is, the brisa was discussing the miraculous journey the Jewish people had in the times of Yeshua ben Nun, crossing over the Yarden, the Jordan River, into the western part of Eretz Yisrael. So the brisa continues and says, "V'kivin shenitfalu ragli kahana b'mayim." Since at that moment, when the feet of the kahanim, who again, as we mentioned in the previous daf, this time they were carrying the Aron, which generally the Levim did carry the Aron, the family of Kohath, but there were three times that the Kohanim did. One of them was when they crossed the Yarden, when their feet touched the water on the eastern side of the Yarden, when they went in, Chazra Hamayim Lachayrehem. So then suddenly the water that was flowing in the Yarden actually went backwards. Now, as Rashi explains, it just means that it didn't come down. From where the Kohanim stepped in, the water didn't continue going downward. Rather, that's where it stayed, and the water that was constantly streaming, instead of coming down, actually started going upward. Shanem, like it says, the Pasuk in Yeshua, says, "Uchavoy noisi ha'aron ad ha'yard megrema," that when those who were carrying the Aron in the Kohanim came till the Yarden, v'goyim, etc., v'yamdu ha'maim ha'yordim milamalo, that the water that was coming down stopped coming, that was coming from upward stopped coming down. Kamu neid echad, they stood as one column, and that's where the Kohanim were standing, that's where it stopped, and then just started going upwards until the entire Jewish people crossed through. Now, asks the Brice of a Kamu Gaben Shalmaim, how high did the water go? I mean, the water is flowing down, so it didn't go backwards, actually it started going upward instead of going down. So how high did it go? So as the Machlek is, Shnaim Asar Mil al Shnaim Asar Mil. It was actually an area of 12 mil squared. Keneged Machan Yisrael, correlating to the area of how large the area was of the Jewish people, which was 12 mil squared. And the reason being is because this opinion holds that they crossed the Yarden as they would encamp. And the width of the camp of the Jewish people was 12 mil squared. So it comes out that when they were crossing the Yarden, it was exactly how they would normally camp. So until the last one went through the Machna, that's how the water was constantly going up. And that's therefore how high went. That's the Rabbi Yehuda. On that, Amalei Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon said to Rabbi Yehuda, Lidvarecha, according to your opinion that you're saying it went up 12 mil high because it was exactly the amount of time that the people go over the Yarden, which is, they went exactly as they camped, which is 12 mil squared. Well then, I have a simple question for you. Adam kal, oy mayim kal. What moves quicker, a person or water? Have oy mayim kal. You say obviously that water moves faster than a person. Im kain, if so, says Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, that if you're telling me that the water only reached a height of 12 mil and then it went back to its place, I mean it continued flowing down, so it would come out that the people didn't have enough time to cross the Yarden, and therefore, and then actually, according to your interpretation, the water came and would drown them because not everyone crossed yet. Ella rather says, Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon, Malamed, it teaches actually, actually, the water kept on piling up one after another, meaning instead of going down, but piling upwards, keeping like Gabi keeping, arches on top of arches, meaning as waves are piling up one on the other. Yesim is Shalish Meis Mil, more than 300 mil. Very significantly different than Rabbi Yehuda, who said it was 12 mil, said 300 mil in the height. Achiro Eisen Kol Malchei Mizrachim Ever, says, until all the kings of the east and the west saw this fascinating miracle. Shnei, like it says in the Pasuk over there, it says, Vayihich Yishmoye Kol Malchei Amoyri Asher Be'Ever HaYarden Yama, that it was that until all the kings of the Amorites who were on the western side of the Jordan, when they heard this, and V'chol Malchei Kanani Asher Al Yam, and all the Canaanite kings that were by the sea, that Hashem dried up the bed of the Jordan because of the Jewish people until they passed through, and their hearts melted. And the Gemara says, and they didn't have any spirit left because of the Jewish people. Like, look at these people. Look what stupendous miracles are being done for them. And therefore they were afraid of the Jewish people who were coming to conquer them. Now, actually, as the Gemara says, "V'af Rachav Azayna Amr L'Shluchi Yeshua," so too did Rachav the Zayna tell to the messengers of Yeshua, meaning, and this was before they crossed over the Yarden. The pasuk says, "Kishem," she told them, these were the spies, the messengers that Yeshua had sent, "Kishemanu," because we heard, This that Hashem had dried up the bed of the Yamsuf, meaning that what the Gemara is saying is that they were still afraid at the time, 40 years after the Yamsuf was split, they were still afraid of saying, wow, look at this nation that Hashem split the Yamsuf. And Uksiv, like it says in the Pasuk after that, V'nishman, we heard, V'yamas levaveinu, on our hearts meltable, kama oid v'goyim, and no one was able to stand up anymore because of the fear they had of the Jewish people. That was even from what happened 40 years before, and therefore definitely now, when they were crossing over the Yarden, everyone was afraid of what was happening. Again, like he's saying, it was so high, and everyone's so, what is this? It's because what Hashem is doing a miracle for the Jewish people. Now the Brisa continues and says that oidim b'yarden, Amalem Yeshua, when they were still in the Yarden, when they were crossing and they were in the water, which was not the water, but in the seabed, that Yeshua said to them, as it says in the pasuk within Yeshua, says that the Kahanim, the Noisi Ha'aren, they were oimdim b'techa Yarden, when they were standing in the Jordan River, atam kol advarim, until he finished all the words, Hashar tziva Hashem es Yeshua, that Hashem commanded Yeshua, ledaber l'om, to speak to the people, where the pasuk there says, what which was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, in other words, like it says in the pasuk, as the Gemara is going to quote, that it was said to Moshe, "Katam oivim es Yarden, when you're going to cross the Yarden, el eretz Canaan, to the land of Canaan, vayirashtem, etc., that you're going to, you'll have to liquidate all the nations that you're conquering." Therefore, in other words, what it means to say is that when you're crossing the Yarden, there was that condition that the only way you're going to be able to cross is with this condition that you're going to get rid of the nations that are in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what Yeshua was telling them. When they were in the Yarden itself, he said, "Du'u ma'atam oivim es Yarden." You should know the why is it that you're crossing over the Jordan. Amanasha terishu es yeshvei oretz mepenechem. It's only so that you get rid of the settlers of the land that's here before you. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk in Bamidbar, it says, "Vahirashtem es kol yeshvei oretz mepenechem ugeimer," that you should get rid of those who are in the land that are before you, meaning all the seven nations. That's the only way. And that Yeshua said, "Imatam oisim kein mutiv." If this is what you're going to do, then that's good. Then lav, but if not, boin mayim b'shaytman oisechem, then water's going to come now and it's going to wash you away. Now the Gemara just asks on that interesting terminology of the Brisa, "May oisichem." So that the Gemara says, "Oisi v'eschem." It's a combo word of me and you. So you better accept upon yourself that that's what you're going to do, because if not, then the water is just going to come and drown us all. Moreover, Eidim Yarden Amalim Yeshua, when they were still crossing over the Yarden, in the Yarden itself, Yeshua said to them, "Hirimu lechem ish." He had appointed 12 men, and he said, "Each one of you should pick up even achas al shechmei, one stone on his shoulder, lemisper shifti Yisrael v'gamer, so that it'll be the count, since he had 12 people, each one's going to pick up one, lemisper shifti b'nei is the Girsi Yisrael, that they'll have 12 stones correlating to the 12 tribes of the Jewish people." Now, as Rashi explains, these are the stones that they ultimately placed in the place where the Kahana was standing the whole time, which was the end of the river. They were standing there, thus holding up the water until they all crossed, and then the Kahana left. In that place where the Kahana was standing, they took these 12 stones that were underneath them in the Yarden, which is generally covered with the water, they placed it over there as a monument. Where, because, like it says in the Pasuk after that, why they do this? Lamantia zeis eis bekirbechem, so that this should be a sign amongst you, ki yishalom b'neichem mochem lemer, because when your sons are going to ask you tomorrow, saying, "Ma avonim eilachem ugeimer, what are these stones over here? Why at the edge of this the Jordan River are there these stones?" It's a similar banim she'avro avas ha'yarden. It's a sign for the children that their fathers crossed over the Yarden. That's why you should take these stones and place it where the Kahana was standing and say, "This is where the Kahana was standing, and we're held up the Jordan River from flowing." Now, moreover, another thing, oidim yarden, amalam Yeshua, when they were still in the Yarden, Yeshua said to them, "Su'ulachem mizem mitocha Yarden, take out from here, from the Yarden, mi matzav raglakan, from the place where the Kahana were standing, hachin shteim esrevanim, prepare, take 12 stones, vavartim oisim mochem, and take it along with you, v'inachtim oisim bamolayin asher talinu b'halayla b'goymer, and that you should place it in the lodging where you're going to be sleeping tonight." Now, this is actually not like the other ones, which were stones taken from where these 12 men were and placed where the Kahana was standing. This was actually taken from where the Kahana was standing and taken out of the Yarden with them. And these were the stones which they used by Har Evel, which were mentioned in the previous stuff. And they built the Mizbeach there. Then they took it apart. And then they went and established this in Gilgal later on. That's where they were told that where you're staying, that's where you should go ahead and take the stones with you. So says the Raisa, Yochel Bakom Maloin Maloin. You would think that wherever they lodge, wherever they go, they have to take the stones along with them. Tamalaino, that's what the Pasuk teaches. Asher Talinu Bahalaila, where you're going to sleep tonight, that's where you're going to take it with you in Gilgal, and that's where you're going to leave it. That's where the stones were, which again were written, Bar Hativ, the 70 languages of the Torah written on these stones. Now, commenting on these stones, Amar Bihuda, he says, Abba Chalafta, my father Chalafta, Rebbe Eliezer ben Masya, and the Chananya ben Chachinoi, Amdu Alois Navan, they stood by those stones. Vishirim Kolachas Vachas, and they estimated each one of those stones was Shkula Kar Boimsa, was equal to around 40 so, which is very, very large. Now, that's very heavy, and that's how much each man was carrying each one of those stones. Now, for Gemiri, we have a tradition, the Te'una Demidli Inish Lekasre, that the amount, the weight that a person can carry on his own shoulder without anyone supporting him, is Tilsa de Te'une Have, is actually only a third of how much he could carry when someone else is supporting with him. So therefore, as Rashi calculates, it comes out that actually each single person who is carrying a weight of 40 definitely would be able to carry, if others are supporting him, actually a weight of 120 sa. Now, therefore, the relevance of that comes out, Mekanat Mechashav Le'eshkol. From here, you could calculate how heavy must have been this one cluster of grapes, which eight of the Meraglim, were carrying, and each one was supporting the other one when they were going ahead to pick up their shoulders. Who could imagine how heavy that must have been? Because each one could carry 120 saw, and you have eight people. That's a lot. Shanim, like it says in the Pasuk in Midbar, it says, Vayisu'uhu ba'mayt b'shnayim, that the Meraglim, the spies that were sent by Moshe Rabbeinu into Eretz Yisrael to spy it out, that they carried with poles two of them. Now, that the question is, Mimashma Shanim b'mayt, from the fact that it says that they carried the cluster of grapes of with a pole, any day, don't I know it's two people? Obviously, you need two people to carry a pole. Matam alem b'shnayim, so what does it teach with two? It actually teaches b'shnei moites. It wasn't two people, it was with two poles, and each pole has two. Now, but Amar Yitzchok, he actually adds on another dimension to this. He says, yes, it was turtane, it was one load, which again has four people, because you have two poles, each pole has two people, so they're carrying on the shoulders, one in front of the other, times two, that's four. But he says, it's actually with turtane du turtane. It was also actually a load beneath a load. And the reason being is that what happened was is that the ones who were carrying the lower poles were supporting those who were carrying the upper poles. And that is, each one had two poles. So you have two layers, two poles, which are four people, and then two poles beneath that supporting the upper ones, also with two poles, meaning each one four. So how does that come out? So you have, again, as we said, you have the two parallel poles, and there are four people carrying those two poles. Then you have two other poles, which four people are carrying those two, and they are, one would picture that like an X. They're diagonal from the two upper poles. So you have one that's reaching one end and the other end, and then you have one coming from the other side, reaching to the other end, crisscrossing. Now, Rashi just points out that what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying over here, that his interpretation, he's not learning it out from the Pasuk at all. It's just that it's obvious to him that because the Meraglim, what they brought back was a cluster of grapes, and they brought back a pomegranate and a fig. So it's obvious to him that the pomegranate could be carried by one person. The fig, although it's very large, could be brought by one person. And we know that Yeshua and Kalev didn't carry anything. So you're left with eight people, and all the rest that they brought back was one cluster of grapes. So therefore it comes out that eight people were carrying this one cluster of grapes. Now, just Rashi says that the reason why it's coming on the heels of this drasha that we said is because if not for this drasha, that there wasn't just one pole, so we wouldn't know how to calculate how do you have eight people carrying this one cluster of grapes. But now that we know that there were actually, as the from the extra word shnayim, that there were actually two poles, so that's what Yitzchak comes to explain, say that was for each load, meaning each layer was two poles, which was four, and that's what he says, there was actually two layers of that, so you have four people carrying the upper poles, and you have four people carrying the lower poles. As the Gemara explains, Hakeitzah, you have Shemayin and Nasu Eshkel, you had eight of the Meraglim carrying the one cluster of grapes, Echa Nasu Rimon, one was carrying a pomegranate, Echa Nasu Te'ena, one was carrying a fig, and Yeshua V'Kalev Le'Nasu Klum, whereas Yeshua and Kalev didn't carry anything. Why? Says the Gemara, either because they were very distinguished, it wasn't appropriate for them to have to be schlepping, carrying any fruits back. Or another interpretation is because they were actually not part of the council of the Meraglim, meaning to bring back this bizarre cluster of grapes that had took eight strong, mighty people to bring it back, because actually the spies, their intention was for evil. Because they wanted to say, just like how bizarre are the fruits, so too the settlers there are also bizarre, and they're strong, they're mighty, and to scare and intimidate the Jewish people not to go ahead and enter into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore they didn't take a part in that, and they didn't bring anything back. Now going back to what we mentioned before, Pligibar Rav Ami Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, where we started on the top of this daf from the continuation of the Braisa regarding how high was the water, which again depends on what was the formation that the Jewish people were in when they crossed over the Yarden. So there's a machlekes exactly regarding that machlekes, how to interpret it. As the Gemara explains, Chad Omer, one of these two, meaning either Rav Ami or Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, which we don't know who said which one, one says that L'divrei Behuda, according to the opinion of Rabbi Behuda, who he said that the height of the water only reached to a height of 12 mil, which was like the length of the encampment of the Jewish people. So that means, as we continue on Tamid Beis, that Kachanei Yasin Avru, that is that exactly how they usually would camp, which was an area of 12 mil squared, was how they exactly, how they crossed the Yarden, according to their width, they went all together. And therefore, the length of the water only had to be a height of 12 mil, because it went exactly according to the dimensions of the Jewish people in their encampment. Now, but L'divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, but according to his opinion, that it went actually to a height of 300 mil, it was Bezachar Ze Avru. They actually didn't cross how they are encamped. They walked in a straight line, one after another. So therefore, obviously, it took a long time for all the Jewish people to cross, which normally would be 12 mil squared, but here they're going one after another. And therefore, that's why it had to take so long, and that's why it reached a height of 300 mil. Now, the reason being, because as Rashi explains according to this interpretation, had it been that if they crossed exactly how they're encamped, although, as we mentioned previously, as his taina was to Rabbi Yehuda, of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, that the water moves faster than a person, but still, it wouldn't have reached a height of 300 mil. So it must be, says this Amoira, that the reason why it was so much was because it was actually a single file line that they crossed over. But V'chadam, actually, the other Amar says that no. Bein mar u bein mar, kachanei yasin avru. No, everyone agrees in Elazar ben Shimon that how they were encamped, that's how they crossed over the Yarden. But mar savar adam kal. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a man is as swift as how fast water moves. Now, Tosfos points out, as was the time of Elazar ben Shimon, that although everyone knows that water obviously moves faster than a person, but that's only when it's going as its normal stream in the water. But here, where actually the water was going against gravity, it was piling upward, so that's where Tosfos said Rabbi Yehuda held that the how fast the water was going was exactly the same measure as how fast the people were walking through the Yarden. That's what Rabbi Yehuda held. Whereas in Marsov and Mayim Kalm, however, Blazer Rabbi Shimon held that know that even so that it was going upward, the water still goes faster than a person. And again, it was so fast, even though they weren't even walking single file, it reached to a height of 300 mil, even though they weren't walking one after another, even though they went as chaniyas. And again, that's a machlekes in Reb Elazar ben Shimon. How does he hold they crossed over that have reached such a height? Is it one after another? Or even like Rabbi Yehuda says, that it was kichaniyas. Now, continuing on this theme about the Meraglim, about the spies that Moshe Rabbeinu sent into Eretz Yisrael, the pasuk in Parsha Shlach opens up. It says, "Shlach lecha anashim." Hashem tells to Moshe, "Send for yourself men, spies that will go into Eretz Yisrael." Now, Amr Shlakish, he's medayik. He makes the inference. It says, "Shlach lecha, send for you." What that means is midaitcha, according to your initiative. Meaning, Hashem is telling him, "I'm not commanding you, but the Jewish people are telling you," like it says in the pasuk in the beginning of Devarim, "that take kavur na'alai kolchem." Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, "And you all ganged up and you came to me." Which is that Hashem is basically telling Moshe, look, I'm not going to hold you back. If your people, the Jewish people that you lead, wants to go in and send spies, go ahead. But it's midaitcha. Because as the Gemara proves, v'chi adam zeh bor chelik ra la'atzma, you think that if Hashem had commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to actually do the spies, you think he would be telling him something that at the end, which ultimately we see happen, something bad would end up happening? And would Moshe Rabbeinu have invested in something if Hashem is telling him that would be bad? Definitely not. And behind the Dichsav, that's what the Pasuk says in the Devarim, that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people, Vayitav Be'en HaDavar, you all came to me and said, let's send spies. And the Moshe Rabbeinu says that it seemed like a fair deal in my eyes, and that on Rish Lakish says, Be'enai V'loi Be'enav Shalmakim. Moshe Rabbeinu was very meticulous and exacting in his words, that he says that in my eyes it seemed appropriate, but not in the eyes of Hashem. Hashem didn't command me. It was midaitcha. That's what Hashem allowed us, but didn't tell us to send the spies. Now, the pasuk before that says, V'yachbru lano es ha'aretz, that the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, you all came to me, and you said, let us seek out and spy out the land of Eretz Yisrael. So Amar B'chi Barabba, he says that the Meraglim, in which Rashi translates to mean to say the people that had the initiative, who wanted to send spies into Eretz Yisrael, Loi Niskavnu, their whole intention was, Ela Levoishasa Shal Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to find the embarrassing, the disgraceful parts of Eretz Yisrael. And how do we know this? K'siv Hacha V'yachbaru Lo Nesaretz. Here the term for spying is used for V'yachbaru. Now, B'ksiv Hasim, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that tells us V'chofra Halavana. Same word, which is translated as the moon is embarrassed, and the sun is ashamed. So we see from the cognate, we see from the shayrish of the word chayfer, that not only does it mean spying, it also means embarrassing, because that was their intention. They wanted to embarrass the land, and they wanted to prevent the Jewish people from going into Eretz Yisrael. Now the pasuk says, regarding those men who were the meraglim, says, Ve'elish Maisim, these were their names. Lamati Reuven for the tribe of Reuven was Shamu ben Zakur. And so on, it goes through the 12 Shvatim of the who were the ones that were sent as spies. So Amir Bitzchak, he says, Davazim Misaris Biyadinim Avisena. This is a tradition that we have in our hands from our fathers, that Meraglim, the spies, Ashem Aseim Nikro. They're actually called based on their despicable actions, or at least those that had sinned. That actually is where their name signifies. But Rabbi Yitzchak says, "V'anu loy also be yidena." But we don't know how to interpret in their names how you see that ela echad, only one of them, which is Sesur ben Michael. Sesur ben Michael was one of the meraglim. We see from his name Sesur shesaser meiser shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu, that he contradicted, that he weakened the actions of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, meaning he almost made Hashem out chas Hashem to be like a liar. Because the Maisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was that he said that this is going to bring them to Eretz Zavas Chalvash, great, beautiful, pleasurable, and they were saying, oh no, and it has this problem and that problem, so he was contradicting the action of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when it says that it was Ben Michael, it's Sha'asa Atzmoy, meaning a reference to Hashem, which is the word Kael at the end of Michael, he made Kael, so to speak, God, into Mach, into like as if he was weak. Whereas Gemara will tell us later on, on the coming daf, that as if, so to speak, the Baal HaBayis, the owner, meaning Hashem, can't get his vessels out of the house, meaning he can't get rid of the people because they're too strong, and he won't be able to have the Jewish people enter. So that's why he was called Sesur ben Michael. Now, Amir B'Yechanan, he commented, he says, Af Anu Neumann, we could also interpret one of the other miraglim, which was Nachbi ben Vafsi, which is Nachbi, Shehich bi devar shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he concealed the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning he didn't say it as it is. These meraglim, they were saying half-truths. So he concealed some of the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so too, Ben Vafsi was the same idea. Shepisa, because he skipped over al midas shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, not saying everything as it is. So either you could conceal certain things, or you could skip over certain facts, and thus tamper with the information, and proctor it as if it's something else, and then you give this image of something horrible, and the whole Jewish people are crying that why are we going to this land. Now the pasuk in Bamidbar says, "Vayalu b'negev," when the spies went to Eretz Yisrael, they went up into the south. "Vayal v'yatchever," and they came to Chever. So the Gemara asks, "Vayivayu mibayle," should have said, "and they came up." Why is it in the singular? So Marava, he says, "Malamit shapirish kolav matzas meragam." This comes to teach that Kalev, who was an individual, had separated himself from the council of the spies. V'halach v'nishtatech al kivriyavis, and he went and he prostrated himself by the burial place of his forefathers, meaning by the with Avram Avinu, where all the abbas are buried, which is in Chevron, Ma'ar Samach Pela, and this verse says v'yavoy, that he came, because it was only him. Amalahen, he said to them, Avoisai, my fathers, Bikshulai Rachamim Shainotzlam Tzas Meraglim, beseech mercy on me that I should be saved from the counsel of the Meraglim who want to badmouth the land of Eretz Yisrael. Now, however, Yeshua, he didn't have to go. Why say singular? Shouldn't Yeshua, who is also not part of the Tzas Meraglim, have also gone to heaven? He didn't have to because Kvar Bikesh Moshe Lov Rachamim, because Moshe Rabbeinu, before he was even sent, had already beseeched mercy on him. Shem, like it says in the Pasuk, over there, that by Yikra Moshe Yeshua ben Nun Yeshua, then Moshe called regarding Hosheya ben Nun, he called him Yehoshua. He added on a Yud, which he was saying, that God should save you from the counsel of the Meraglim. That's why he added on the Yud, which is Ka Hosheya, Hashem should save you. Now, behind the Chsiv, that's what the Pasuk says over there, that Avdi Kalev, that my servant Kalev, that since he had a different spirit with him, meaning, so therefore the Pasuk concludes over there, that I will bring him to the land where they came there. I mean, that's a reference to Chevron. As the Pasuk says in Yeshua, Perek Yudalad, Chevron was given over to Kalev. In other words, we can infer that the reason why it says in the singular, Vayavayat Chevron, was because Yeshua didn't have to go, because Moshe Rabbeinu already changed his name, already davened for him. And it was Kalev, who he was the one man alone that had a Ruach Acheres, who first he was seemingly part of the Meraglim, and then he davened and he went to Chevron to be saved. And that's why, again, he ended up getting that place where he went to daven, which was Chevron. Now, the Pasuk says over there that Visham, that over there in Chevron, was Achimon, Sheshai, Betalmai, Vegomer, which were these great giants. So the reason why they had these names was Achimon was from the word of Miyumin Sheba Achiv. We have Ach Yemin. You have, he was the most right, meaning he was the strongest of all the brothers, meaning just like the right hand is more distinct and Chashiv than the left hand, so he was the strongest of the brothers. Sheshai was called because Shemesim Esa Aretz Kishchisis, that he made the land into like huge pits. And because wherever his feet would go, he would make a huge crater in the ground because of how heavy he was. And it's, you could see that from a pit. Now, Rashi says that the how you see that from the word Sheshai is because the word like Amudei Shesh, which are pillars of marble, Shesh is heavy, and therefore wherever you put it, it makes an indentation. That's why it was called Sheshai, because he made these huge craters in the ground. And Talmai was also Shemesim Esa'orit Tlamim Tlamim, because he made the earth, wherever he walked, into like these huge furrows of when it's plowed over, where it makes the dust come up and makes these huge dents in the ground. That's exactly because these huge brothers were huge giants that were living in Eretz Yisrael at that time. Or Davar Acher, which actually Rashi Masechta Yuma takes out this word Davar Acher, because it's not another interpretation. It's just that Achiman Bana Anas, he built Anas, Sheshai Bana Alash, he built Alash, and Talmai Bana Talbash, and he built Talbash, they built all these different places. Now the Pasuk says that these three brothers were Yelidei HaAnak, which usually translated as the children of the giant, but how it's interpreted here is Shemanikin, Anak could be used from the word Anikin, Chama B'Kaimasin. That in other words, because of the great height, that it almost seemed like that if their neck was piercing through where the sun, the hole where the sun comes through, and as if like the sun was a necklace around them. That's how tall and high and mighty they were. Now the end of that pasuk says that Chevron Shever Shanim Nivnesa, that Chevron was built 7 years, which as the pasuk they concludes, and this is in Bamidbar Perek Yud Gimel pasuk of Beis, Lifnei Tzoyan Mitzrayim, that Chevron was built 7 years before Tzoyan of Mitzrayim. Now ask the Gemara, my Nivnesa, what does it mean that it was built? Elim and Nivnesa Mamish, if you say that it was really built 7 years before Tzoyan, which is the ultimate place in Mitzrayim. Efsha Adam Baina Bayis Libnai Kadin, is it possible that a person would build a house for his younger son, which Canaan was the youngest of the four sons of Ham, who there was Shem, Ham, and Yafes, who are the children of Noach, and Mitzrayim was actually the second son of his sons. So would he build for Canaan, which is the youngest son, and make it 7 years Kaidim Libnai Gadol before his older son, meaning his second son of Mitzrayim? That's like it says in the Pasuk Bereishis, Uvenei Ham, that the sons of Ham were Kush, Mitzrayim, Begoyim, etc., which was Ufut and Canaan. So it doesn't make sense to say that Chevron was built 7 years before Tzayin. Ella, rather, it means Shehisim Mevuna al Achad Mishiva Bitzayin. The word Mevuna means to say that it was settled with produce, that it was a better quality, 7 times more than the tzayin of Mitzrayim. Now, the Gemara points out the contrast, because ve'en lecha trashim, there's no rockier terrain that is b'chol Eretz Yisrael, in the whole land of Eretz Yisrael. Now, rocky terrain doesn't produce good produce like moist land. And there's no rockier terrain there. It's all Yosim Mechevron, more than Chevron. And Mishum Dekari Bashechvi. And to point that out, to prove that it's a rocky terrain, that it's, and therefore it's not fit for produce like the rest of Eretz Yisrael, that's why they actually designated it a place of burial place, which is where the Avos are buried in Maaseh Machpelah. In contrast, Ve'en Lecha Me'ula B'chol Ha'aretz Yesem Eretz Mitzrayim, there's no greater land of all the lands of the world than Egypt. Shalom, like it says the Pasuk in Bereishis, that Lot so desired, and he looked at the land of Sedaim, because it was Kigan Hashem, like the Garden of Hashem, which is Keretz Mitzrayim, like the land of Mitzrayim. We see that that's the ultimate prototype of a luscious land. Now, moreover, Ve'en Lecha Me'ula B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, Yesem Mitzrayim, and there's no greater part of the land of Egypt than Tzayin of Egypt. Like it says the Pasuk in Yishai, it says, Kehayu B'tzayin Sarav, because in Tzayin were the ministers of the king of the Jewish people who sent his ministers to Paroi of Egypt to help him out to fight Melech Asher, the king of Assyria. So obviously we see that Paroi was in Tzayin, and that's why he sent them, the king of Israel sent the messengers to Tzayin, because that's where the royalty of the Egyptians were. So we see that Tzayin is the best of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the best of the world. And Chevron is the worst of Eretz Yisrael. And still, Chevron was 7 times better for its produce than Tzayin of Mitzrayim. So you see how great is the Shevach of Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Gemara asks, is it really true that Chevron is rocky terrain? But there's a pasuk in Shmuel Beis that says, it was at the end of 40 years, where that's when, from when the Jewish people had requested for them a king, and therefore this terrible incident happened, where Vayim Avshalom El HaMelech, so Avshalom said to the king, to his father David, he says, Elchana V'Gomer, let me go now. And as the Pasuk there says, V'Avshalom Es Nidri, and I will pay up my oath, Asher Nedarti L'Hashem B'Chevron, which I took an oath for Hashem in Chevron. Which what it means to say is he was saying, I want to go now to Chevron, and I'll pay up the neder that I had taken in Geshur. Whereas the Pasuk says afterwards, Ki Nader Neder Avdecha B'Shifti B'Gosha, because your servant had taken the nether when I was dwelling in Goshur. Now the question is, why was he going to Chevron to pay up his nether? But there's no Mizbeach over there. The Mizbeach wasn't in Chevron. It was actually in Givon at that time, was where the Mishkan was. So why would he be going towards Chevron? So Neva Amr of Avya, V'itim, and some say it was actually Rabbi Chanan, Shaholach Lehevi Kvasim Chevron, because he was going to bring sheep from Chevron, which were the best, to be able to then bring it on the Mizbeach in Givon. Because with time, like we learned in the Brisa, which is brought in Masechtas Menachos, that Elim Mimayev, the rams, you want to get the highest quality, would be brought from Mayev, and Kevasim Mechevron, and the sheep were brought from Chevron. So obviously, asks the Gemara, that we see that it was a place of where pasture was, where there was luscious growth from the ground. So why are we saying that it's the rockiest terrain and doesn't have anything good growing, when we see actually to the opposite? And that the Gemara answers, no, Minah. That contrarily, from what you're asking from, actually says the Gemara, actually supports me that it was not a good land to plant, to have produce like the rest of Eretz Yisrael, because it was rocky. And the reason being is because I did the Kli Sha'ara, since the earth of a rocky terrain is very thin and very weak and very little, therefore they didn't plow and plant over there produce that's edible for people. So to the contrary, of Deraya, actually that's why it was good they made it for pasture, because the only thing that's growing over there is grass. And that's what sheep eat, because no one's planting fruit. And therefore, Visham and Kinyana, and that's why actually the flocks of the sheep actually get fatty over there. Because that's what sheep do, which is that the best land for them actually is the dry and rocky land, better than the moist land, because the moist land doesn't have for them any grass, because it's actually being planted with other things, and that's actually why the sheep we do get from Chevron, but not because that's the place of good produce. Actually, that's the worst of Eretz Yisrael, but there's good grass, which is good for the sheep, and that's why, yes, he went to get sheep from Chevron, but again, that still doesn't contradict which we're saying. It's the worst of Eretz Yisrael in regards to produce, which And even though it's the worst, but it's still seven times better than Tzoyin, which is the best of Mitzrayim, which is the best of the world. And therefore you see the great Shevach of Eretz Yisrael, which in spite of that, again, the Meraglim were able to somehow just distort the truth of Hashem's words and of Hashem's land.